What's up, everybody? I hope everybody is well. I recently started playing Metal Gear Solid 2 again. Problem with me in video games is if I start playing a game, I get too into it, so I don't want to stop. So I'm up pretty late at night playing it. And then I tell myself, okay, after I get to a certain part and I beat it, I'll turn it off. And I usually keep going after that, but that's all I got for you guys. Make sure you follow me, Punch the Mouth Official on Instagram, official_PITM on Twitter. Peace, guys. Later. Everybody, I hope everybody is well. UFC 300 is in the books. You got Alex Pereira, he won. You got the new star in Kayla Harrison, Wang Jili. She chokes the girl out, Yan Shainan, and then she almost loses, but then she wins it back. Congratulations to her. The BMF title fight, I mean, that should be fight of the decade right there. First of all, Max Holloway is crazy. I cannot believe he does that. He does that, okay? For sure up 3-1, if not 4-0. And he does that to Justin Gaethje. Like, he points UFC 199 style to the ground and he wins in that fashion. Like, that was insane to me, man. Insane. Yuri Prochazka, another one. Like, what is that guy made of? I will say this, though. Like, if Yuri fights that way against Alex, it's not going to be a good night for him. I'm sorry, Yuri. I love you, but let's be honest here. But I don't think he fights him in that fashion, honestly. I don't. I honestly don't. I think what happens there is Yuri takes a different game plan. You know, that's what I feel would happen in that situation. Let's look at my notes here, or more importantly, my tab. So let's go through the whole fight card, UFC 300. Starting, Davison Figueiredo defeats Cody Garbrandt, rear naked choke. Bobby Green defeats Jim Miller, unanimous decision. There was a 30-25, a 29-26, and a 30-27. Jessica Andrade defeats Marina Rodriguez, 29-28, split decision. And that's when Moicano defeats Jalen Turner. I mean, Jalen thought he had that fight won, right? But I guess not. He didn't. Diego Lopez defeats Sadiq Youssef. That guy is insane. He wants to fight Mousar Imovov. I'm ready for that, bro. Let it happen, please, UFC. Let it happen. It'd be a great fight. Diego Lopez defeats Sadiq. We already talked about that. Sorry. Kayla Harrison defeats Holly Holmes. Now, here's the thing, guys. Kayla went on the MMA Hour yesterday and said, I didn't know if I could make weight. I didn't know, but I did it anyway. Now, to me, now, I don't know Chris, and everybody's different, right? But remember Chris did that video of how hard it was for her to cut down to 140? There's no video of Kayla. Kayla didn't care. Kayla's like, I'm going to do this, and that's it. Because if Kayla wins this belt, she's automatically top 3 fighters in the world. Just under Cyborg and Nunes. Like, her win on Saturday, in my opinion, already makes her better than Ronda Rousey. Because let's be honest here. In my opinion, Kayla Harrison can defeat everybody here in the top 15. Like, the only ones I have questions about are Amanda Nunes and Cyborg. But with Kayla Harrison's skill set, I give her the edge over those girls too. Now you might tell me, well, Adrian didn't Larissa Pacheco defeat Kayla Harrison. Yes, but that was at 155. And Kayla is much bigger than these girls. Okay. Kayla is much bigger than Mayra Bueno Silva. She's much bigger than Kaylin Vieira. She's much bigger than Juliana Pena. Like, all Kayla needs to do is grab these girls and throw them to the ground. Now, it'll be interesting if she fights Nunes. If they go to the ground and Nunes uses Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like, you know, it'll be an interesting fight, but I don't know if it happens, is Kayla Harrison versus Valentina Shevchenko. Because if you remember, Valentina Shevchenko used to fight at 135. I don't know if that's something she still wants to do, because 125 is going good for her, in my opinion, man. It's going good for her. So I don't know. But to me right now, Kayla's top three in the world. Top four if you want to do Amanda, Cyborg, Valentina, and her. With just one fight. And to reflect that, she's already number four. Above her is Mayra Bueno Silva, Kaylin Vieira, and Juliana Pena, and of course the champion. And then there's that video, right, of Amanda Nunes. But like she says, Amanda's been out. Why would I call her out? She's got a point. She's got a point. Let's go back to looking at these fights. Calvin Kattar versus Aljamain Sterling. I mean, first of all, I think I was a little harsh on Aljo, because he did say if he would have lost to Calvin Kattar, he probably would have retired. So he was probably playing it safe and like, look, man, Aljo's what now in the rankings? And I go by the UFC rankings because I'm pretty sure this is the most legit one. I don't know. You may tell me something else, but I might make my own rankings. I've been thinking about that. I don't know. I need to get other opinions. But I might make my own rankings. I just don't want it to be my rally. Like, I want to get a group of people to do it with me. And why would I'm looking for something I can never find? Hamza. Okay, I found it. Okay, so Calvin Kattar is number 9. Aljamain Sterling is number 8. He wants to fight Brian Ortega. That's a good move, because Diego Lopez said he wanted to fight Mosar Imabov, but Diego Lopez is number 13. There's some good fights for him. I know Edson Barbosa just got a fight announced. Let me see if I can go find that and we could talk about it. Let's see. It's right here. We found it. No. Edson Barbosa will fight Lerone Murphy. When is this? On May 18th. Okay, now let me see. Lerone Murphy's not even ranked. Okay. So if I'm Diego Lopez, I don't know what's going on with Giga, but try to fight Giga. He wants to fight Mosar Imabov, but I don't know about all that noise. If anything, have Sterling fight Mosar Imabov. Because he wants to fight Brian Ortega, which is a good bet, because Brian's number 3. And whether you guys want to admit or not, people know who Aljo is. So it makes sense, in my opinion, to put him in there with him. As much as people don't like Aljo, like, he's got a name. Because above Aljo is Max Holloway, who right now just blew up everybody's bingo card because he's in the mix at lightweight. I think he's number 8 at lightweight right now. Is he? Yeah, he's number 9 at lightweight. And then he took out the number 2 guy, so... But now lightweight is also kind of blown up, because it has been announced Dustin will take on Islam at 301. I mean 302, I'm sorry. I keep saying 301 because I forget they're going to Brazil. So 302 in New Jersey. So about Marvin Sarukian, I wait because who's under me? Charles, you just beat him. Gaethje just lost, and then if Dustin loses, there's no clear-cut winner, because look, the UFC just announced their October card for Abu Dhabi, and I guarantee you they put Islam on that card. UFC 308 is going to be in Abu Dhabi October 26th. So there is that. So if any, like, you look at 302, if Islam comes out unscathed, 308 is where he takes on Armin Sarukian. If I'm like his management, if I'm ATT, we're looking at the 308 card. The only way that doesn't happen is if Dustin Poirier gets the nod over Islam and they do the rematch at 308. That's the only way this fight doesn't happen, okay? That's the only way. So if I'm Sterling, that's a good call out for the Brian Ortega fight. And Brian responded to that saying, I'm aware of the call out and the options. It's a time for my manager to do his thing. So Tiki is looking at the thing going, okay, what do we do here? And if that's the most high profile fight that T-City could get, why not? You guys are telling me you wouldn't watch that? I mean, I'm a fan of grappling, okay? So you guys are telling me you wouldn't watch that? So there's that. Let's continue on. UFC 300. Yuri Prohaska defeats Alexander Rakic. Dude, that was going to be fight of the night before the BMF belt. That was going to be fight of the night before the BMF belt. That was insane. So Yuri has positioned himself to be the next challenger for the light heavyweight division. But I'll tell you this, guys. I mean, how old is that? Alex Pereira is defining the odds. The dude is 36, so he's probably got like 2 good years left in him. But this guy, bro. Now, and granted, you look at the people he's fought. They're not of wrestling backgrounds. But really, who in the heavier divisions, other than welterweight, who in the heavier divisions have a wrestling background? Look, you look at his UFC debut, Andre Michalides, not really a wrestler. Bruno Silva, not really a wrestler. John Strickland, not really a wrestler. Israel Adesanya, not really a wrestler. Jan Blachowicz, not really a wrestler. Yuri Prohaska, not really a wrestler. Jamal Hill, not really a wrestler. I mean, you know what would be an interesting fight to see him fight? Would be him and Drickus. Because Drickus would grapple him. And then he says he wants to fight a heavyweight. You know what would be an interesting fight there for him? It's him and Curtis Blaydes, because Curtis Blaydes would grapple him. Or the guy that Jalton Almeida is another one, because they will grapple him. So that's interesting to me, man. But yeah, Alex Pereira defining all the odds. And then PFL, there was a PFL event. It was good, as much as Dana White wants to shit on it. It was a good event. I don't know what the ticket sales were, but I liked the event. PFL. It was a good event. Impa Kasanganan gets 6 points. There was a lot of finishes on Friday. I'll tell you that much. Let's see. Impa Kasanganan wins. Wilkinson's won. Clay Collar defeat Patricky Pitbull. That fight was insane, okay? That fight was insane. That fight was insane. Matt Burnell, who won this one? Matt Burnell lost. Sabadu Sai got a freak accident and dislocated his thumb. So, what's this guy's name? I know he's Conan Silvera's son, but I never know his name. Hurry up, PFL. Josh Silvera went for a takedown. And, you know, like when you like put your hand down to like break the force, I guess. When Sabadu Sai did that, it dislocated his thumb. Shoeface won. Yaji Murdoff won. Yaji Murdoff is in the Brett Primus one or Primus. I mean, it was a good card. Is this Damian Maya? It looked like Damian Maya. It's not Damian Maya. It was a good card. As much as Dana White wants to call it PFL-ator. You guys want to hear what I'm talking about? Let's hear Dana White's comment on PFL-ator. That's what he called it, man. It was hilarious. It was hilarious. But that shows you he's watching. As much as he wants to deny, he's not. He says they were giving out buy one, get two free. Oh, buy two, get two free. Let's see. It goes, Dana White mocks PFL. Selling buy two, get two free tickets. You're having a bad fucking week. Dana White, I want to have a word with the co-leader in MMA. Following the historic UFC 300 card, with 20,067 fans in attendance, the UFC CEO spent most of the post-fight press conference celebrating an incredible night of action until somebody made the ill-fated decision to mention the name Bellator to him. The subject came up while discussing a possible UFC card in Hawaii, which White shut down due to the infrastructure problems that would prevent the promotion from actually traveling there. When a promoter mentioned that Bellator previously held cards in Hawaii, White scoffed at the remark before joking that the organization now owned by PFL could probably put on a fucking fight in the parking lot. That led to White noting that PFL actually promoted a card in Las Vegas this past Friday night, a fact he only heard about at the very last minute. Did you guys know PFL-ator was here on Friday? White combining PFL and Bellator into one name? Did anybody know that? I didn't fucking know until fucking Friday. I didn't know that, Dana, if you really want to know, because I have to keep up with this stuff. But he's not wrong. It is PFL Tour, because I'm telling you, I don't know how long this separate organization thing is going to last. Like, how long is it going to last? Do we know? We don't know. The PFL 2 card took place at the theater at the Virgin Hotel with the light heavyweight and lightweight headlining event. White promised he wasn't trying to unnecessarily shoot down at his competitors, but couldn't help but mention a promotional email that he saw PFL trying to dumb up ticket sales. They were selling tickets buy two, get two free, White said. I'm not busting on them. That's a fucking fact. They put that out in a memo. Buy two, get two free. You're having a bad fucking week if those are the memos you're putting out. There were more people in my fucking green room tonight than there were at the fight. To be fair, PFL actually sent out an email advertising buy two tickets, get two free for the upcoming card in Chicago, scheduled on Friday, April 19th, not for the event just held in Vegas this past week. Okay, so probably Chicago. I mean, he's doing what he's got to do, right? Like, already, he doesn't need to do that much. Already, the tribalism in MMA is 99% UFC, 1% everybody, you know? So we'll see, man. We'll see. I want them to do well. Again, the only thing I question is this feasible to keep the two organizations separate? And by the looks of it, no, because, like, look, it's already, they said 80 events, right? 80 events, give or take. But, like, in my opinion, those 80 events are already booked mostly with the Bellator champion. So if you're not a Bellator champion and you're trying to get fights, the way to go is the PFL, because you're at least guaranteed two fights. I mean, look, Patricky's going to fight again. I don't know if Patricia will fight again this year, but I know Patricky's going to fight again this year. For sure. So let's go back to UFC 300. Did I get rid of it? I did not. I just went somewhere else on the tab. Yuri Prochazka defeats Alexander Rakic. Cody Brundage loses to Bo Nickel. Armin Sarukian defeats Charles Oliveira. That was a crazy fight. Max Holloway defeats Justin Gaethje. Yang Weili defeats Yan Shainan. Alex Pereira defeats Jamal Hill. The crazy thing about the Jamal Hill fight is that he did something, Alex, that he caught him in the cup and the ref was going to stop it. And Alex goes, nah, 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 leave me alone. I'm going to take care of this right now. Let me see if I could. I saw something about it right now. So let me see. Let's see. Alex Pereira explains waving off referee Herb Dean meme celebration after Jamal Hill knockout. Alex Pereira wasn't going to let a foul get in his way with another highlight reel finish. Poatan retained his light heavyweight title with a brutal first round knockout of Jamal Hill in the main event of UFC 300 on Saturday at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Adding another knockout to his resume is nothing new for Pereira, but the manner of which this one came about definitely raised some eyebrows. First, Pereira was seen waving off the ref as the official looked to step in to address a low kick from Hill that appeared to make contact with Pereira's groin. Seconds later, Pereira dropped Hill with a left hand and finished with punches on the ground. So why didn't Pereira allow for a pause in the action when he hit the illegal strike? He just didn't want to break his flow. He just didn't want to break his flow. Is that it, Alex? Dang. That's pretty cool. I was starting to find my distance, Pereira said at the evening's post-fight press conference. I started using leg kicks from the beginning so I could find his distance. He's a southpaw, so it's a little harder. My game plan was to start throwing hands after that, so when he threw the groin shot, but it did not really hurt too much, so I chose just to keep pushing. So I did not have to reset the distance and capitalize on the moment. The win extended a 3-fight win streak, but I'm like, dude, that was, there's a lot of, I guess, I'm like, dude, Alex is just built different, okay? Everybody should be mad at Israel Adesanya, because Israel's the one that brought him here, okay? Israel brought him here, so everybody go be mad at Israel. But yeah, man, Alex is built different. Like, again, I would assume his next fight would be a rematch with Jiří if it's at light heavyweight. But he did tease heavyweight. But, dude, the type of power you're going to feel at heavyweight is insane. And we've seen Alex get knocked out before by Israel. But, again, I don't like saying this because it sounds like I'm taking something away from Israel. But was it because Israel hits hard? There's no doubt about that. But did Alex get knocked out because he couldn't take Israel's hit or because of the weight cut? Like, that's the question. Because, again, Bruno Silva almost knocked him out, too. And that was also at middleweight. So my question becomes, is it that you can't take a hit? Or is the weight cut the one messing with you? That's my only question. If it's the latter and he goes up and these heavyweights can't hurt him, I mean, they're in trouble. But can you imagine him and Robles de Spain? Or him and John Jones? But, again, remember how I said the thing is Alex hasn't really faced wrestlers. John Jones will wrestle him. Tommy Aspinall will wrestle him. Curtis Blaydes will wrestle him. Stipe Miocic, even though I believe he's one and done after Jones win or lose, will wrestle him if they fight. So then, like, that's where we'll see the holes, right? But then again, he's training with Glover Teixeira. You don't think Glover knows all of this? You don't think Glover goes like, hey, Alex, we need to work on your wrestling, bro? Like, maybe Alex is really good. And, like, I know he got his black belt after getting the knockout win, but he must be good on the ground for him to get a black belt, okay? Like, I understand that he got a KO win, but you just don't get a black belt, especially from someone like Glover with Glover's type of ground game, okay? So, I wonder, maybe Alex has skills on the ground that we just haven't been able to see. So we'll see, man. We'll see. We shall see. But that's all I got for you guys. It'll be a short one. There's no fights this weekend. I'm gonna do another show maybe tomorrow. We're gonna talk about Devin Haney and we're gonna just have an opinion episode. But other than that, I'll try to get more information on potential injury Alex had if I can get it. But we'll see, man. Later, there's also Cyborg versus Pacheco. Apparently, it's a done deal. I reached out to Larissa Pacheco's manager. Haven't heard anything back yet, but if I do, I will let you guys know. Keep an eye out on the social medias. Punch the Mouth Official on Instagram, official_PITM on Twitter or X, whatever you call it. Peace, guys. Later.